Joining us today here on the Right Here, Right Now, Martha Bolton, who has authored a book, Dear Bob, Bob Hope's Wartime Correspondence with the GIs of World War II. Martha, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I'm always happy to talk about Bob Hope and his relationship with the military.
Just real quick, before we get into that, you have an interesting relationship with Bob Hope that I didn't know that you actually were a writer that wrote some material for Bob years ago.
Yeah, I was a staff writer, his first woman staff writer, and I was with him for 15 years, writing television specials and his personal appearances and tributes and just whatever he needed. So it was a dream job for a comedy writer. My goodness, you don't get any better than Bob Hope. So
it seems to me that Mr. Hope was one of those people that was just incredibly approachable. He just seemed so absolutely genuine when people would have, you know, we only see him from interviews on things like The Tonight Show and things like that, but he just came off as somebody that you could really relate to.
Absolutely. He was exactly who you wanted him to be when you met him. You know, he was like talking to your uncle. You know, the soldiers would write and say, I saw you at a gas station, you know, in such and such city, and you walked up and talked to me, and I, you know, just, he was just a friendly guy. He was just, you know, there was no arrogance about him.
Yeah, and the book, again, is called Dear Bob, Bob Hope's Wartime Correspondent with the GIs of World War II. And why now? Why is this the right time for this book to be published?
You know, it's an interesting story with that, and I think it's just the timing right now. We were working on this book when Bob was alive, so it goes back decades, and we were working on it, and then it got, you know, unfortunately put aside for a little while because you're on to, you know, working on other shows or appearances and whatnot, and then unfortunately Bob Hope passed away, and you know, we never did finish it, but you know, we did talk with him about it, and we you know, got into it, and you know, made a lot of headway on it. So a couple of years ago, Linda Hope emailed me and said, do you want to start back on that book and finish it up? And I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, absolutely. I've been waiting for that for a long time, you know, because we had done a lot of work on it. And it always had burned within both of us to, you know, to share this with the world. And so we've been working on it, and it was going to come out last year. And the timing seems to be perfect that it's coming out right now when everybody has survived last year. And, you know, as far as looking forward to 2021 and putting last year behind us, but everybody's looking for hope. You know, he's known for his timing, so I think he's still doing it because it just is coming out at the right time.
Absolutely. What I find fascinating, that these letters that these GIs would write to Bob Hope were so personal in nature. It wasn't like they were reaching out to a celebrity. They felt like they were reaching out to a friend. And Bob took that very personally in that he would, you know, respond to as many of these letters as he could. And even if there was a request in there to reach out to family from the GI, he would do what he could to do anything he could for these GIs.
Absolutely. And at the height of the war, he was receiving 38,000 fan letters and GI letters a week. So you can imagine what that was like. But he could not, if they asked for it, he could not say no. He wanted to get them whatever he could. They, you know, they'd request whatever, and he'd send it to them. They'd request fruitcake. They'd request him to set up a date with a celebrity for them. them and their buddies. That you know, we'll take turns going out with. You know, and they'd name the star. You know, just whatever they could ask of him, and then he would he'd do his best. Or harmonica. A lot of requests for those, and he'd get it to them. And he would just answer the letters, which was hugely important to them, that when a letter came in to their camp and it was from Bob Hope, and all the, you know, whoever was the recipient of it, the other soldiers would follow them into their tent. They'd all, you know, pass the letter around. There was all this excitement that, you know, Bob, this is after a show or after, you know, already having done so much. Another thing that he did, soldiers would give him their mother's phone numbers and ask him to call them when he got home. And he'd spend hours on the phone calling mothers and letting them know that he had seen their son or daughter and that they were doing good. And this is besides his career. This is besides keeping up a full-time career.
Absolutely. We're visiting with Martha Bolton, who, along with Bob Hope's daughter, Linda Hope, have put together the book Bob Hope, Bob Hope's Wartime Correspondence with the GIs of World War II. And one thing I find really interesting in these letters is that to Bob, it was very emotional. He made a very personal contact with that, yet he sort of put all of that aside, that you really didn't see that from him when he came home. You know, he still was the Bob Hope we knew, the comedian, the singer, the dance man, movie star. But he had an emotional toll, I would think, that, you know, relating to these GIs that he carried with him for a long time.
Right, his whole life. He could hardly read the letters without it being an emotional thing, but he loved those. He called them his sons and daughters, especially when they would write. There was this one kid that, you know, got pulled up on stage and you know, danced with Patty Thomas. And so he sent a picture reminding Bob of who he was. And he was, you know, telling him that he had unfortunately gotten killed in action. Bob wrote back and, you know, said how hard it was to hear that, you know, that he was a swell kid. And it's, you know, that's got to take an emotional toll. It was letter after letter after letter of those, you know, from mothers that, you saw my son and just before he was killed, and you saw my daughter or whatever, and my husband.
Yeah, and when
you saw a lot of kids.
When Bob would go, When Bob went to do these shows, it wasn't like he was staying at a distance. Some of these bases that he went to were right up as close as he could get to the front lines, because those were the guys who really needed a lift, needed something from home. And Bob, I don't know if it was sense of duty or what, but that's where he wanted to go.
He wanted to go where they were at. And yeah, he would be ducking incoming just like they would. He had some close calls.
And this thing, this is what struck me, because in this day and age, we're kind of a throwaway society. And the fact that Bob kept these letters, what an amazing treasure trove of an interesting insight into what it's like to be part of a armed conflict, a war, and being away from home and being isolated like that, and reaching out through Bob Hope to tell their story of being over there.
And he kept them at his house all the time in California. When I was on, you know, working for him, that's where we started working on it. And then they donated it to the, after his passing, donated it to the Library of Congress. Okay. And so then I would go up there in Washington, D.C. and work on it up there and finished it up. You know, they were so precious to him that just boxes, and there's a picture in the book of the boxes and boxes lined up there in the hallway of the Library of Congress. Pretty incredible. But they meant so much to him, and those were something that he wanted to hang on to. And thankfully, his secretary at the time, Marjorie Hughes, had the foresight to know that these letters were of historic significance. And not only did she keep the letters, but she kept the carbon copy of Bob's responses on the onion skin paper. And that just is beautiful, to hear his response back and forth with the GIs. And there was a lot of joking around. I mean, there's letters that'll tug at your heart and you have to have a tissue nearby, but there's also letters that you just laugh out loud because of the, you know, what the exchange is about, or the camaraderie between the two. They're like, they were all like just buddies goofing off. You know, there was a lot of that back and forth.
Is there a particular story or a particular letter in the book that just stands out to you?
There are some that every time I get to them, I cry, you know, I just choke up. But this is a really beautiful one. hi friend, that's what they would, you know, call different, your buddy or whatever. Hi friend, I remember the first night I spent on Iwo Jima. I said my prayers and I imagined I could see my little girl getting into bed even though the Japanese were hitting us with their mortars. At this time, I was dug in beside the body of a buddy of mine, Gunny Sergeant Jay Bassaloni. But all I could think of was home. Later on in the operation, I came across a fellow from Indianapolis. He had been hit with mortar fragments. While I was dressing his wounds, of which there were many, also giving him plasma, believe it or not, he was talking about home. When we put him aboard a track to evacuate him, he said, well, at least I'm heading for home. This story is true, Bob, and I guess he is home by now. I have been transferred to the 2nd Division and sure hope to get home soon. That's all for now, only I hope the people back home hold up their end of the bargain as good as we held up ours. One of your fans, Harry.
Wow. And the way they talk to Bob, it's, you know, like in today's society, I think we hold celebrities on to esteem of a different level that we really shouldn't. Yet these gentlemen that were, you know, fighting this war really looked at Bob as one of them, as a friend, as a confidant.
Absolutely. And he would, at his shows, he'd make sure the GIs had the front seats or the hospital victims and the ones on stretchers and whatnot, he'd have them in the front rows and he'd have the officers in the back, you know. Mm-hmm. He just was one of them. He always wanted to be one of them and did everything he could to make sure that they were treated well. And they did. He had that relationship with them that it comes through every letter that the friendliness and the respect that they each had for each other, that, you know, Bob had for them and the GIs had for Bob. And I think also that knowing that at any day, you know, or any performance, those kids that he's performing for may not see the next day, I think that comes across too, that when you're writing the letters or he's performing, there's just no guarantees.
Mm-hmm. What do you hope this book does for people in their perception of either Bob or their relationship with the GIs?
Well, I think that the cost of the sacrifice, and this is a quote from Bob that pretty much sums that up. I was there. I saw your sons and your husbands, your brothers and your sweethearts. I saw how they worked, played, fought, and lived. I saw some of them die. I saw more courage, more good humor in the face of discomfort, more love in an era of hate, and more devotion to duty than could exist under tyranny. And then I came home to find people still living and thinking the way I lived and thought before I was given a look at the sacrifice. And I think that's what the book is about. It's about gratitude for the GIs and for Bob Hope, who gave so much, gave 50 years to the troops, and would have kept on going. His last military show, he was 87 years old, and he's crawling in and out of helicopters and you know, getting up close to the battlefields. And when at an age when he could be cruising down to Rio, he had already had a spectacular career. He didn't need to do it, keep on doing it. He had already done enough and sacrificed enough, but he kept going. Whenever there was an engagement, if the troops were there, he was going to be there. It's crazy, but a good crazy. It's a passion that he had to do it. You don't know, you know, you don't see that a lot, you know, where someone is on a mission, but it's not just for a few years. He did it for 50 years, every engagement in his life.
Yeah, and doing it because it was the right thing to do and it's something he was passionate about and was going to do no matter what.
Right, and it wasn't that he was a fan of war. I mean, there's letters, you know, I wish this mess would hurry up and get over with. He was just, he had made a pledge to be there for the troops, and he fulfilled it.
Martha Bolton, the book is Dear Bob, Bob Hope's Wartime Correspondence with the GIs of World War II, written along with Bob Hope's daughter, Linda Hope. Martha, I so appreciate your time here today, and thank you for getting this book completed and getting out to the public. I hope people take a look at it and read it, and I'm sure it's going to really tug at their heartstrings and give them a new special appreciation and connection with Bob Hope.
I hope they do, and I thank you so much for having me on and letting me talk about him and everything that he meant to America.
All right. Again, thank you so much. Martha Bolton, our guest here on Right Here, Right Now. Back with more in just a moment.